It's time for Rescuers, the show about people who change and save lives. Now, here's your host, Art Brooks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Rescuers Radio Show. Heard every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. on Faith Talk 1360 or faithtalk1360.com. And once it airs at that channel, that goes into our podcast, and our website is rescuersradioshow.org, where you can hear all of the shows on podcast. And this is a listener-supported program, so if that interests you at all, you'll go through our website and you'll find directions for that. My guest, this is great, all the way from Tanzania, Rick Morrow, founder of the Maasai Girls Rescuers Center in Tanzania. Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
You know, before we get into the center, I want to talk about your background. How did you get to this point in your life? But also, you and I just met about a week ago at a different program. And not a radio program, but it was a big deal at Scottsdale Bible. And turned around, they introduced you. You stood up. I turned around. You were sitting right behind me.
Right behind
me. So I didn't have a hard time finding you and offered the radio show slot. And here you are. So please share with our audience a little bit of your backstory. How did you get to this point in your life?
Well, I'll try to make it brief because I can go on and on. But I retired early. I was living in Mesa. I sold a small business and I retired. I then joined a men's group up at DC Ranch from a gentleman that came into my business and met him there. I'm not big on joining things, but he was a pretty good salesman for the Lord. He really was. So I joined the men's group. And as my retirement, I already had it planned out. I've been divorced many years. My children had moved out of the state. I was sitting alone in a very comfortable situation, but I was going to fish. I was going to hunt. I was going to play golf, and I was empty. I was after a year of this, it was just empty. Mm. So in the men's group, I was complaining, as we do in men's groups, and looking for some direction and some help. And they asked, one of the gentlemen told me to call this man at Scottsdale Bible. I called this man, and he said, "I'm going to Tanzania tomorrow. And when I come back, we'll talk." Well, to be honest with you, I wasn't excited because to me, Tanzania was a resort place because of the national parks. I'm into animals. I watch the documentaries, all the national.
If anybody wants to go on a safari, that's where they go, right?
They can look at the Maasai Girls Rescue Center. We can help them with that safari. a little promo there, but
that's what this is about, though.
Yeah. So invited me. When he came back, he invited me to go on a short term mission trip. I went. I saw the plight of the Maasai, and my goal was, I went over as a volunteer. I paid my own way. My goal was to create a sustainable, income-generating project for the locals so they wouldn't be totally dependent on donor money. So I did that for the organization they support over there. When I was done with that, the organization wasn't as interested in continuing it because it was another type of work, and I wasn't there to run the place. I was just there to start it. So I went off on my own. I went out to the border, which was into the bush, which is totally Maasai, and I got a chance to see how what the people out there call themselves the original Maasai, which means they haven't transitioned into the 24th century,
Wow.
21st century. Yeah. They're still living, trying to live like they did hundreds of years ago, but they can't because they can't migrate like they used to. They can't raid other tribes and steal their cows. So they suffer out there. There's no running water, no electricity. They live in mud huts. And that's the rough part. But what I got to see was the children. Girls never get to go to school.
Yeah.
Because there's no need to go to school because they're going to be married at 12 to 15 years old.
Wow.
And they're going to start making their families then.
And that's dictated.
And so what I saw was, if you're going to help this tribe transition into the world, the best way, I thought, was through the girls. the boys were already set in their way. They got a little education. They had their animals. They were really comfortable because everything was given to the boys. So I had an idea to start a school out there. It didn't work. I drilled a borehole. It was dry.
Borehole is a well.
Well. It was dry. And ended up moving to another town where they had an old World Vision Center. I refurbished that. Started with 16 girls there. And then we realized we wanted our own property. So I bought property in another area.
So I just want to interrupt for a moment. Because when I met you a week ago, you sold everything you had here to get over there to do this, right?
Well, yeah. I sold.
That's a calling.
Yeah. I sold my house. I gave my children their inheritance. I sold my car, everything. I sold everything. After 3 months over there, I knew that this was where God wanted me to be. Yeah. And so I went. And it didn't go smooth in the beginning.
I bet.
I moved to the bush, all full of vim and vigor, all excited about I'm going to do all this good work, drilled a dry hole. The people were very friendly because I was the ATM machine. I could help them. They're not bashful for asking for help. And I wasn't bashful for trying to help them, to try to learn it the first. But what I learned was giving them money wasn't helping them. What I wanted to do was help them. So I would feed children on my front. I built a house. So I had the only house there. Everything else was mud huts. I'd feed the children 20 or so at a time on my front porch. Most of them weren't going to school at all. Some were going to school just to get some porridge.
Yeah.
They'd walk 6 kilometers one way through the bush. There were no houses along that way. It was an animal corridor for the national parks. And when they'd come home, I'd always save them a bowl of food. And I was feeding them pasta and, you know, pasta fazool, stuff they never had before.
Ooh,
and
they like you.
They like food. They like food, but especially stuff they never had before.
Yeah.
The men would come. I wouldn't feed them. Not because I was mean, but just because the men could take care of themselves. The older boys would come. I wouldn't feed them because they were healthy. The girls were hungry.
Wow.
So I fed the girls. A couple sad stories. I started with, I told you, 16 girls in the mass that I took from that area down about 50 kilometers where I rented this place. All the parents were happy.
Yeah.
I took the girls, feed them, got them started in school. All of them only spoke Maasai, Ma. So they had to learn Swahili. And all of them picked up English. It's amazing how quickly the youth can learn
languages. Is that from missionaries coming and going?
No,
or?
It was us. They only spoke Ma when I took them. In the government school, one good thing about the Tanzanian schools, if you start at an older age, they'll put you in a remedial class. They call it a Memkwa class. And then you accelerate as fast as you can learn, and then up to the fourth grade. If you pass the fourth grade national exam, they let you go further.
Yeah.
If you don't pass the fourth grade exam, then you're going to go home if you're older.
Yeah.
But all of our girls passed the fourth grade exam because not only were we going to the Memkwa, but I had tutors that were teaching them at night, helping them with their work.
Very good.
So we were very happy with that.
Yeah, you're not doing this alone. You've got a staff or?
I do now.
Okay.
I was doing it with 4 people in Longido where I was renting. We now have a staff of 22 in Corato where we bought the property and where we built the girls' center. We have a.
Tell us about the center.
Okay, so we bought 15 acres, 15 and a half acres. 15 acres, 3 acres is on one side of a dirt road, and we built that was the farm. We built the farm first because I had some dairy cows because the girls wanted milk, and milk's very expensive there. Yeah. So I invested in dairy cows. The dairy cows needed a place to stay, so we built the farm first. We were renting a facility for the girls in Corato. And during the COVID, we got a very good deal, so I don't know if COVID came from God to help us get a cheap place, or I know a lot of people weren't happy with it. But after we built the
so all of this happened during pandemic?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, long story about Tanzania. We had a president. He passed away in his second term. He took 4 sample. For COVID, you had to send everything to the DOMA to be inspected by the Minister of Health to see if it was really COVID or not. He took a sample from a goat, a cow, something else, and an inanimate object and sent it to him. Three came back COVID positive. One came back unknown. He fired that minister, and he declared Tanzania doesn't have COVID. He just declared it. Masks came off. People stopped washing their hands, and things went back to normal.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. But at the same time, the tourists had stopped coming.
Yeah.
And Karatu is a tourist hub for all the Northern Tier National Parks. So the buildings were empty. So we got a very good deal on renting for 2 years. Now tourism's back and it's flourishing just like before. So it's good for us because part of our deal is to move forward with a safari lodge that all the profits from the safari lodge will support and pay for all the overheads of the Girl Center.
Awesome. Now, is the center an actual building?
Oh, we were, again, the marketing people that volunteer and help us here in America called Growth Point, the owner reached out to Architects Without Borders, got a group in Australia. Several came back to us, but the group in Australia, they designed a very, very nice dining room, office buildings, six buildings for vocational training, and the girls' houses.
Wow.
So we raised the money, we built, and we raised all this money without an organization behind us.
Whoa.
It was really, Bruce would ask me, he'd say, where are we going to get the money?
God at work.
I said, pray, because I spent my money. Bruce had made a huge investment in the farm. When we got to the Girl Center, we had no resource. So we just reached out, and you learn how to beg when you realize you're not doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
You're doing it for other people.
Right.
It's not that hard to ask for help. Yes. And we had some very, very fortunate, three of our biggest donors I never met. So that's a testament to God's work, for sure.
So Maasai Girls Rescue Center is what we're talking about. What's the main thing they were being rescued from?
Okay, the girls, as I said, don't get a chance to go to school. The Maasai still practice female circumcision, FGM, female genital mutilation is what it's tagged at. It's against the law in Tanzania, but the government doesn't enforce it with the Maasai. They say that's their culture, they let them go. And they do it as early as 8 up to 13, 14 years old. A girl supposedly can't marry another Maasai unless they've had that ritual.
Oh, my.
So we're educating the girls. Part of what we're rescuing from is a couple have run away not wanting to be cut. The second thing is the girls are forced to marry, not for love. They can't pick their husband. The father goes to one of his friends and says, my son's ready to get married. Do you have a daughter? Oh, yeah, I have a daughter. Because the father and he picks the family because he knows that family, they're friends. They arrange the marriage, and that's it. The girl has to marry this, whether she's 10, 14, usually not much older than that. Yeah. The man could be in his 40s, 50s. He could be as old as 70.
So how are you protecting them?
Well, through the government, we have an we formed an organization, an NGO, a registered charity in Tanzania.
You have a nonprofit here and there.
Yeah, we have a 501c here, separate, and an NGO charity over there. Yeah. We also have registered as that charity a girls' rescue center and a girls' center, so we can keep the girls until we send them through college if that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, as you would realize, not everybody is college bound, and especially if you're starting from the bush and you've never seen a shop, let alone a factory or something like that. We teach them, the ones who are prospering in school, we help them with their academics. The ones who are not as interested in school, we have a vocational training we give them. We teach them how to work in the kitchen, how to work in the bakery, how to do sewing, and how to do hair. Which is all jobs they could get when they leave.
Yeah.
Our goal isn't to get them a job when we leave. Our goal is to help them start a business.
I was just going to ask, what is your main goal here?
Well, or just like you, with your children, our goal is to have our children grow and be prosperous.
Yes.
So whether it's academically or vocationally, we want to help them get on the right track. Our whole basis there is teaching them that they're responsible to God, they're responsible to themselves. Teaching them, again, about family.
Yeah.
Their family life is totally different than ours. It's something that took me a while to get used to, that mothers aren't exactly like our mothers nurturing. But we're teaching them that when you get married, you become one. You don't live separate. You don't share your husband. You don't share your wife. When you have children, you have a responsibility to teach them how to walk in God's way,
yeah,
and how to be responsible and how to take pride in what you do.
I have to take just a moment and talk to our audience. I have a message for our audience. If you came in late into this Rescuers show, my guest is Rick Morrow, founder of the Masi Girls Rescue Center in Tanzania. And this all is just really so interesting, and bless you for all you're doing. But when you got there, it sounds like absence of food, regular foods, and drinkable water. Those were two big issues, right?
Right. Well, they're the biggest issues to start with, survival.
Yeah.
Food is very Maasai girls are the last in the food chain. They might get milk from the goat or the cow if the cows are they have enough cows or goats lactating, and they'll get flour and they'll make porridge out of that. So they may eat one meal a day, no vegetables, no fruit, no meat. In a big celebration, they may get a piece of meat in the big celebrations, but not much. Some of our girls said they never ate meat till they came to us. They never ate fruit till they came to us.
Oh,
there's a doctor, an American doctor over there that I used to take some of the kids to when they were sick, had epilepsy and stuff. Again, if you have epilepsy, they never got the medicine. So they're always falling down, and, you know, they thought they were possessed by evil spirits. We take them to the doctor, get them epilepsy medicine. Now they're fully functioning.
Wow.
So that amazed them. But they didn't. If you don't continue to use the medicine, you have the problem. Well, the Maasai didn't understand. I took the medicine. I should be better. No, this is not a curable disease. It's a treatable.
Yeah.
And that takes a long time to explain. But once you do, now the young men, we have one girl with us that do that. But the young men are now functioning, which is they couldn't function before.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is there still a shortage of medical supplies and as well as all of the infrastructure, equipment, all of that?
In Corato, there's a Western guy, a doctor from California, who opened a very nice hospital there, the one I go to, too, if I have issues. And there's government hospitals. The government hospitals are government hospitals.
Yeah.
I can't say much more about them than that. You either have typhus or you have malaria, and that's the medicine you get when you go there, for the most part. But I donated a Project Cure. I don't know if you know about them.
I've had them on air.
Okay.
I
first met them before I started Maasai Girls, and I donated a container to Corato.
Nice.
We raised money for that.
Yeah.
So they were opening a new hospital.
Yeah. So, are there other entities from outside the United States that are helping out?
There's quite a few in the Corato area. There's one where the lady has been there 20 some years. She's from the Hamptons, and she takes orphans. Runs her bottom a little different than us. Very similar, but a little different. One of the things we really want to enforce is that we're going to be sustainable. That's our goal.
Yeah.
And the second one is that we want the girls to be prepared for life at around 18. We're not kicking them out, but we want to have them prepared. We want them to understand that they can depend on us for guidance. They can depend on us for counseling. But you can come home and say hello to your sisters, but you can't come home for months at a time. Because if you don't, they become dependent on you, and they never leave.
Yeah.
And that's what this other organization is having problems with now. They've got some people there that are 25, 28 years old, never left. I think we have that situation sometimes in the States. But but it's very rare over there, very rare over there. But they're so comfortable,
yeah,
and they can't see, they don't realize that working for yourself is what it's about. Making your own way is what it's about. They'd rather be dependent and have a free ride.
Yeah, let's talk about that. How do you bring that into a culture that's never had that before to be...
That's a great question because it's... First, I'll say slowly, and I'll say frustratingly, but we do. We have... I have a counseling session almost every night with a different groups of girls, 4 to 8 girls, with a house mother and a social worker there. And I talk about all this stuff.
So you have a good good way to keep in touch.
Oh, we have 70 girls, and I talk to all of them all the time.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm the only white person here, so they don't mind. And I have lollipops and sometimes soda, so I don't have an issue getting them to come and talk. And they're eager to hear. I started by, in the very beginning, showing them movies on DVDs, and that was their exposure to several things. One is the rest of the world and English language, because I only showed them in English. They would see, I showed them the Bethany Hamel story, and they never saw water.
Wow.
They saw water in a pond.
Yeah.
They saw the ocean. Is that Maji, which is water in their world? Yeah. All that water, how could they drink that much? I said, they don't drink that. It's salt. Oh, what's it for? I said, God put it there. There's fish in there. But they never saw that. When they took them to Arusha, which is one of the bigger cities, it's our hub city, they saw multi-story buildings. Does one person live there? Is that their boma? And they just never saw it.
Yeah.
Taking them a shot. All these are shot. So that was their first introduction. And so I build on that, and I build on the movies, and a music video they'll watch. And they love to sing, and they love to dance. And I said, nothing you've seen here on any of these movies, you can't do. You can do anything you see here. You have to just believe in yourself, trust in God, and God will direct you. I want to sing. Well, put them on. We have a stage now. They freeze. I said, that's okay. Everybody does that at first. You just have to keep practicing. So slowly is the slowly part. Encouraging. And as you would expect, as the girls get bigger, they get a little bit. I'm a... grown up, I don't have to listen to everything. And a little bit of direction on, your obligation, not just your rights, but your obligations also. So it's a challenge, but it's also very fulfilling.
Yeah.
That was the issue. I told you, when I was living here after retirement, fishing and playing golf was was empty.
Yeah.
It was empty. Now I don't have to worry about empty.
You made a comment in part of some of the information I received from you. You made a comment of one person graduating. What did she graduate from?
Okay. We have two now that have graduated.
Okay.
Okay. Both of these girls, for different reasons, failed the second year of high school. In Tanzania, you have 4 national tests. 1 in 4th grade. If you fail it, you can repeat. 1 in 7th grade. If you fail it, you can't go forward. If you fail the one in the second year of high school, the sophomore year of high school, you can repeat it. Both these girls were 18. They not only failed, but they were like in the lowest of their class. So they ended up with, we talked them into doing vocational. We guided them into vocational. We taught them how to bake, how to cook. And then we put them in a vocational training school. And the vocational training school does placement. Both of them now are working full time in Safari Lodge.
Wow. So they're learning how to be productive.
They're working. They have a job. They're living on their own. That's the graduation.
That's wonderful.
That's our joy. And it sets a nice example for the other people, too.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So if somebody in our audience wants to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, they can send me an email at rjmorro1@gmail.com, or they can go to our website, www.maasai rescue.org.
So run that one more time for our audience.
Okay.
May not have a pencil ready.
Okay. My email is Rick Morrow. It's rjmorro1@gmail.com. That's the email. And the website is www.maasai Rescue, RESCUE.org.
Rick Morrow, you are a rescuer. God bless you, and thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much for your time.
Okay.
Wow.
Rescuers, Thursdays at 5:30 Arizona time on Faith Talk 1360 KPXQ AM.